Hi, it's Doon here, your host and hype girl. And before we dive into today's episode, I want you to take a hot second to reflect. What's that passion, unique experience, or knowledge you have itching to be shared with the world? For me, it's always been about guiding you and cheerleading incredible women to start your businesses. So what's your thing? You see, everyone's got something they excel at, something they just can't stop talking about. And it turns out that one of the best ways to monetize those passions is through sharing that thing with the world as a digital course product. My life's work has been to chat with more than 600, 7, 8, and 9-figure e-commerce founders. And it's through those conversations that have led me to creating a foolproof playbook and my go-to guide for early-stage founders in the form of my first ever digital program, E-commerce Fundamentals. But it wouldn't have been possible without Thinkific. The beauty of this platform lies in its simplicity. Cute templates and a super easy to use editor. No coding headaches, no tech-induced stress, just pure focus on what matters most, the content. So if you've ever been curious about building a course to teach your passion, this is the way to do it. The genuine support from the Thinkific team turns it from this lonely, confusing headache into the most fulfilling and easy project. Go to the link in my show notes to get a free trial on me.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I'd love to start with the funding piece, because I guess you just mentioned, you know, you raised and you were kind of going for aggressive growth and you were obviously experiencing what to do when it comes to that sort of playbook, I guess. So what's your biggest lesson when you think about the fundraising process and raising capital and bringing on investors?
Oh, there's so many lessons around fundraising. Okay, so before we raised our pre-seed round in like 2020, we also raised like a friends and family equivalent round. It wasn't actually friends and family in it. It was more angel investors that were like third party, but it was like a small round of this 135K. So in that round, we made all the mistakes. We didn't have a firm like close date. We didn't even have like a minimum check size. We didn't know what that was. We also asked for really crazy like amounts and things from our investors. We didn't know who to go to. We weren't super organized. We thought we had to go to VCs right away instead of angels, which wasted a lot of time. So for any new startups listening to your podcast or people very early in their journey, don't be sucked into like the enchantment and like all the glitter of some of these headlines that you see, like, oh, this company raised 15 million from this crazy VC. If you're early in your career as a startup founder, I actually think it's better to go for angel investors, ideally someone who is a former founder, because then they can actually help you through a lot of the early journeys that you're going through. Like, for example, I know you interviewed Tara Bosch from Smart Suites. She's one of our investors. And having people like that who have gone through it are much more value add for you as a small company as opposed to some of these venture capital firms.
And also, I think like from the perspective of connecting dots, someone who can be like, yes, like I can give you advice and the pitfalls to avoid and things like that. But like I can also introduce you to, you know, this distributor or this person who did my legal side of things, like whatever it might be. You can get really great referrals and recommendations from someone who's like actively invested in your company.
100%. And, you know, on that topic, we actually send out a quarterly investor update to all of our investors. And the first section of the email is where we can use help. And the people that usually reply to our emails are the founders that have done it before versus some of like now our bigger angel investors, like, you know, CEOs of companies and stuff. They don't really have that much tangible like skill to contribute. So they read through like the investor update and they're like, okay, this company is doing well. But the ones that actually take the time to offer help, A, have been through it, and B, like they're founder empathetic because they know what it's like. So they're more willing to be like, you know what? Like I remember what it was like when I was 27 and starting a company, like I want to help them. So I think we've learned a lot, like setting a minimum check size, setting a firm end date, also not raising too much for the size of company you are for two reasons. One is you don't want to overly dilute yourself. And second, if you think about it, if you're raising a larger amount, then when you're trying to drum up FOMO from these investors that you're getting on pitch calls with, they'll usually ask you like, what percent subscribed are you? AKA like, of this total amount, how much have you raised so far? And if you're a tiny company, you're trying to raise like $10 million and you've only actually raised like $50,000 from someone, the percent subscribed is going to look so tiny compared to someone who's more realistic and says, okay, I think right now I probably only need $500,000 for the next maybe 18 months of runway, given that my expenses are pretty tiny as an early company. So I'm only going to raise $500K and it makes a lot of the conversations a lot easier to drum up FOMO because you have to close that round faster. So those are like little tips and tricks that people don't really talk about when they're starting to raise. So I would probably say those would be the biggest ones when it comes to fundraising. I also think it's really important to always ask anyone you chat with, whether it's a yes or a no from them to invest, for three more introductions at least. So you don't need to say like, give me three intros. We could be like, hey, is there anyone else you think we can talk to? Usually people give 3 to 5. And we had this database in our Google Sheets that would just be like, contact, who referred us, who between my co-founder and I was managing that relationship, percent probability of closing, what the likely check size would be. And then we would multiply those two columns to say like, okay, this is how much we think we're going to raise. So those are some of many lessons.
I'm sure you have so many more in the bank. If you were thinking about, you know, if you were going to start a new business tomorrow and you were going to raise from kind of the early days, is there sort of a formula or something that you could give as advice for another sort of early stage founder listening who might want to start exploring that kind of like angel round? You know, you just said 500,000, but like, how would you get to 500,000 as a number? Would it be like, this is how much product I kind of estimate that I need to buy, like inventory wise, or what would you be kind of like basing those early numbers off?
Yeah, that's a very good question.
It's probably a hard question, but if there's some kind of like, what would you do if you were, early stage that you could share as advice for someone else listening in?
Yeah. So the first thing I would do is think about what you can fund realistically yourself versus what you actually need to fundraise externally. And what you can fund yourself isn't just the cash that you have. It can also be loans. So debt funding is, you know, really big. And a lot of people don't talk about that because not as sexy as getting like an actual investor, even though it's an amazing option. And then also like grants. Grants is another thing. We really lean into grants, especially when we're starting off. There's a lot of money out there that the government offers that you just need to take the time to research to be able to find. So those are two things. Also, we did a lot of pitch competitions, doing like Dragon's Den, for example. Like there's many ways that you can find capital without starting the fundraising process. So that's the first thing I'll say. Then look at that capital that you already have and see what you can do with that. So what I mean by that is, let's just say you are a newer brand and you want to launch 4 new products next year because the industry standard within your industry is maybe 1 a quarter, and you budget out, you're like, okay, for every new product that I launch, I need probably $15,000 in the initial R&D, the minimum order quantity from my manufacturer. I need to factor in like shipping, like whatever your expenses are. Then you say, okay, then to market that. So I kind of think through like the buckets of a P&L, like marketing. So there's like marketing to D2C, there's marketing to your retailers. If you have any headcount at that stage, like many startups don't, but if you do have like fixed costs that you need to think about. And then once you think through all those expenses, then what I would do is I would compare, this is how much money I have. This is how much cash flow I think I'm going to generate from just like business as usual, because that's incremental. And then you compare your future state expenses to what you already have. And then on top of that, what I would do is I would ask myself, okay, so let's just say I need to raise 200 to cover these additional products and the marketing that I think I'll need for the next 12 to 18 months is usually what people try to fundraise. Then I would also think, in the ideal world, if I had more money, what are some like bigger risks that I would take that I wouldn't have taken if I didn't have the money? So for example, maybe you have never ever tested an influencer partnership. And you're like, okay, from researching online, it's like $5,000 or maybe $10,000 for an influencer paid post. And I've never tried it before, so I don't know what the ROI would be. Like, I would add that to the tally of what I want to fundraise. Maybe I want to test a podcast ad. Maybe I want to test like influencer seeding. I'm just making these up. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Then I would have some of those, or maybe a hire that you're like, okay, if I had 40 grand to bring on this marketing coordinator, I actually think it would drive this much more time for me. And with that time, I could secure this many more accounts. So like that, those are some of the questions you should be asking yourself. And then that's how I would get to the total of what I would fundraise.
Yeah, I love that. That's so interesting. And I think I really love your point around, you know, don't just lean straight into raising capital from investors. And it's something that I say all the time. I'm like, you need to first identify, do you even need to raise? What are the other options you have?
Yeah.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run futuretools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.
Hey, it's June here. Thanks for listening to this amazing episode of the Female Startup Club podcast. If you're a fan of the show and want even more of the good stuff, I'd recommend checking out femalestartupclub.com, where you can subscribe to our free newsletter. We send it out weekly, covering female-founded business news, insights and learnings in D2C, and interesting business resources. And if you're a founder building an e-commerce brand, you can join our private network of entrepreneurs called Hype Club at femalestartupclub.com/hypeclub. We have guests from the show joining us for intimate Ask Me Anythings, expert workshops, and a group of totally amazing, like-minded women building the future of D2C brands. As always, please do subscribe, rate and review the show, and post your favorite episodes to Instagram stories. I am beyond grateful when you do that.